He says, "Hear my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And friends, it's just as simple as this. If a shepherd came out of a morning and came to the fold, and then he began to call, "Sheep, sheep, sheep," and he started up the hill, and say there were 500 sheep, and 100 of them came out and followed him, do you know the conclusion I'd come to? They're his sheep. And I'd come to another conclusion. The 400 stayed in the fold were not his sheep. And that's true today. It's just as simple as that. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Well, what about these sheep? Listen to him, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you notice what he does? He gives unto them eternal life. And friends, when he gives to them eternal life, that means they don't earn it. They don't work for it. He gives to them. And if it's eternal life, it's forever. And if it plays out next week, it wasn't eternal life at all. You see, the shepherd will die, but will the sheep be in danger? Well, they were scattered, but he gathered them all up again. And he says they'll never perish. Neither will any man pluck them out of my hand. But why? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Never perish? That's what he said. Backslide? Yes. Perish? No. The sheep might get in a pig pen? Yes. Stay there? No. Pig? No. Never a pig. Sheep they are. And no one can pluck them out of my hand. No believer destroy himself, but an enemy may get him. May I say, may come in like a roaring lion. No, he won't. No man will pluck him. No created thing pluck them out of my hand. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is wonderful. I, many years ago, preached on this passage when I was a young preacher at a church court meeting. I was asked to preach on this subject, and it was out in West Texas. And a big, long, tall Texas rancher, the kind that you think of when you think of a Texas rancher, very fine Christian, by the way, came up to me, and he said to me, "Young man, that was a pretty good sermon." And you know that was a long time ago because he called me a young man. And he said that was a pretty good sermon. But he said, "You don't know anything about sheep." And then he told me, he said, "I have 2,000 sheep." And he says, "There's somebody watching them all the time." He said, "You know, if two little sheep go over the hill and they're not but a half a mile from the flock," he said, "they're lost. They cannot find their way back by themselves." And he said, "The only way in the world they be safe is for the shepherd to be there." And he said, "You know, a wolf might come up." Now he says he'll kill one of the little sheep. Now he says you'd think the other one would be smart. And he'd say, "Well, while he eats my little brother, I'll go back over the hill and join the flock." But he doesn't know where to go. All he does is go, "Meh," and he runs around and waits so he can be dessert for the wolf. Now, this is what he said. He said, "Look," he says, "you know, a sheep is stupid. A sheep does not have sharp claws. He can't defend himself. And he doesn't have fast legs. He can't run away from danger." He says if a sheep is safe, it's not because the little sheep is clever or smart. It's because he has a good shepherd. Isn't that wonderful, friends? May I say to you, we say today that he gives to us eternal life and we'll never perish. Somebody says you're bragging. Oh, no, friend, I'm not bragging, except I'm bragging about my shepherd. I got a wonderful shepherd. He said he won't lose any sheep. He started out with 100 sheep, and he's going to come through not with 99. If one of them gets out and gets lost and even gets in the pig pen, he's going out and get him, bring him in, because he starts out with 100 sheep, coming through with 100 sheep. Now he says in verse 30, "I am not my Father, but I and the Father are one." He claimed to be God, and so much so that then the Jews, which are the religious rulers, they took up stones again to stone him, you see. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me?" You see, friends, he had his credentials there with him. And those credentials were the works he had done. And as I've indicated before, there were not two or three blind men. He didn't have a healing line. Friends, there were literally thousands of blind that had their eyes open, thousands of lame that were walking. Oh, I tell you, the evidence was there, and they wouldn't accept it. And they answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God." Now, there's one thing for sure. In that day, those who heard him understood that he made himself God. So when the liberal comes along today and says, "Well, Jesus never said he was God." Well, may I say to you, the liberal's the only one that's misunderstood him. And I can understand that because the liberals misunderstood so many things. Now, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, you're gods. If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came in the scripture cannot be broke, say ye of him." The point, of course, that he's making here is that if they were on a high plane, he's not saying here that mankind are gods. That's not it at all. And when we get to the Psalms, where that's quoted from, I go into a great deal of detail there. Now, I want to finish this chapter. "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." The rest of this chapter, he claims to be God, by the way. He is who he said he was. What think ye of Christ? Is the test. Try both your state and your scheme. You can't be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him.